So it says there, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Notice, preach the gospel. Verse 16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. Then go to Luke 24, verses 46 through 47, and he said to them, thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And the repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. Notice that we have three contexts here with Christ telling his disciples. One, he tells them in Luke to repent. He tells them that they got to believe and be baptized. And he tells them in Matthew that you got to be baptized and you got to observe all the commandments. And notice how we're summing this up. Notice that those are from three different gospel accounts, and that's what Christ is teaching. Now, if you turn over, it's working. If you turn over to Acts 2, now we all know that when Christ gave these commandments to the apostles, it was right before his ascension. It's in days. So he told them, go do this. That's what we have recorded. And in Acts 2, in chapter 2, verses 14 through 36, we're not going to read that because that's not our emphasis this morning. We see Christ, we see Peter teaching Christ. We see Peter teaching Christ. And then in verse 37, now when they heard this, Peter preached to them, they were pierced to their heart, to the heart, and said to Peter, brethren, what shall we do? And remember why they said, brethren, what shall we do? Because it's all Jews. On that day, there was all Jews because we're at Pentecost. Peter answers, repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of the Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter repeated what Christ said back in the Gospels. It didn't change over those few days. Do you see that? Now, there's some things that's not in. If you keep an eye on the bulletin, you didn't see that he said confess, right? But he just preached Jesus, and they were pierced in the heart. And what the pierced in the heart says, they understood they crucified God's Son. That's the confession. That's the confession. It's written there, but it's not explicit. And so that's what you see. So what we want to do and what we're fixing to go through is we're going to go look at the conversions in Acts. And by the way, notice in the bulletin, we're not going to go to Romans 10:17. We're not going to go to Romans 10:17. I can go to Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But I'm going to use the examples of the New Testament Christians, and we're going to go through what did the New Testament Christians do to access Christ's blood. How did they put on Christ? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at example after example after example. And so, Acts 2. So, Acts 8, we come across another conversion. Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the Word of God. So we have the conversions. We have Christians being put in jail. We have James being killed. We have Stephen being killed. And now we have the church being dispersed. This is Philip going about teaching in Samaria. In verse 12, chapter 8, verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news, we already said what the good news is, about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, that was supposed to be highlighted, Imagine that baptized being highlighted. Men and women alike. Men and women alike were being baptized. Even Simon, and this is Simon the sorcerer, down in verse 13. Even Simon, because Simon the sorcerer, he was making his money deceiving people. Simon himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip as he observed signs, great miracles, and taking place. He constantly was amazed. So we see the preaching of the gospel. We see people believing. We see in Acts 2 people being repentant. And we see here people being baptized. In all of these accounts, we see that. Acts 8, at the end of that chapter, we see Philip, and he goes to the Ethiopian eunuch. And in chapter 8, verse 35, we see Philip. And remember, this is the Ethiopian eunuch. He's in a chariot, and he's reading a scroll in Isaiah. And he's in Isaiah 53. We're not going to go and discuss that. But notice, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus. That's what we need to be preaching, is Jesus. And they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" Go back to Isaiah 52, 53, and you won't see the word baptism there. But the eunuch knew it because Philip was preaching and teaching him what he needed to do. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And notice what he said. He says, and he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's the confession. That's the confession. Notice, Philip said, "Do you believe?" And he says, "I do believe that Christ is the Son of God." That's why we have confession in here. Now, you can go to Acts 10, verses 9, around verse 9, 10, 11, or somewhere in that neighborhood. You can see that also being stated. And we can find that also in Matthew. We can also find that many other places. We don't have time to go through all these scriptures. But we see the Ethiopian eunuch says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, and he baptized him. Another conversion. Saul's conversion. Saul's on the road to Damascus. Christ appears to him. This is a little bit different conversion here. This is the one time that you see Christ come back and say, and the reason Christ came back, because Paul could not be an apostle if he didn't see Christ after the crucifixion. Because that's one of the definitions we have of apostles, had to identify Christ after the crucifixion. And so, in verse 18, Acts 9, verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. Remember, he was blinded whenever he saw Christ. He got up and was baptized. And he immediately began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." It is not explicit that he said Jesus is Son of God before he was baptized, but it's inferred there that Paul knew and he understood. Remember, Paul had letters from the high priest and the council in Jerusalem to go and take Christians captive. He did not believe Jesus was the Son of God, but that road to Damascus changed that. Acts 10, verse 11. Acts 10, verse 11. This is Cornelius' conversion. This is one of those conversions that just mind boggles me, because if the commentators are right, this occurred 9 years after Christ's death. And if you go read in Acts, the first chapter, Luke tells us how the gospel was going to spread. And you see exactly that as we go through these scenarios. But 9 years the Holy Spirit waited to give the gospel to the Gentiles, and Cornelius was the first one. Now, there was other Gentiles earlier in Christ's ministry, but this is the recording of that. And while Peter was still speaking these words, so Peter was preaching to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who were listening to the message. Acts 10, verse 44. Surely no one can refuse the water of these to be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit as they did. The Holy Spirit was given to them before they were saved. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few more days. Now, the question is, here's a Bible study tip. This is why I started off with Psalms 119, verse 160. The sum of God's word's truth. This is Acts 10 that we're reading about. But notice here, I've got Acts 11, verse 18. Acts 11, verse 18 up here. Because whenever Peter converts Cornelius' household and they see that the Gentiles, that the gospel is for the Gentiles, and we can go back to the old prophets, they actually say this too. We can read that in Acts 15. But the point here is Peter goes to Jerusalem and he's telling the elders and the other apostles, this is what happens. Notice what's giving here in Acts 11:18 while he's doing that. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted the Gentiles also repentance that leads to life. Do you see how all of a sudden I just went from baptism and hearing the Word of God over here in chapter 10 that I could add repentance in there because he was telling the same story. But notice he didn't give the same facts. And they didn't receive the same facts, but they understood there's repentance. Okay? Acts 16. This is Lydia. Cornelius is... So remember, we started off in Jerusalem. We then went... we had the Ethiopian eunuch. All of that happened in Judea. Cornelius is now... It was closer to Syria where that occurred. And notice in Acts 16, we're in Europe. We're in Europe. We're in Philippi. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. And by the way, people say about culture today, Lydia's in Philippi, but she's from Thyatira. These are traveled people. These people are moving around. Today we got people like saying, well, they were a different culture. They don't have culture like we have today. No, they had culture. They had more culture than we do as Americans. They had a lot more culture whenever you start studying this. That was free. That was a squirrel moment. That was free. A seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God. Notice she was already a worshiper of God. Was listening. She was listening to Paul. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken to Paul. And when she and her household... had been baptized, she urged, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So here again, we have another conversion. And by the way, let me give you a hint. If you read this passage here in this conversion, it's on the Sabbath day, and Paul went down by the river where he thought he would have people that was religious. Might be a hint of where we need to go find people to study with. We might need that. We have the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 also. Believe, verse 31, Acts 16, verse 31. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. They spoke the word. They were preaching the word. And he took them that very hour of that night, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all of his household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed God with his whole household. Here's a man that was fixing to kill himself because he didn't do his duties because of earthquake. And here he found salvation that night. He and his whole house heard the gospel. And they were saved. Acts 18, we have the church at Corinth. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, here, Crispus, and remember, there's a lot going on in Corinth. And Crispus believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians then, they heard and were believing and being baptized. I want you to notice in these later accounts, do you notice how things are skipped? Do you notice how we kind of go from the first part of what we see people do? You don't see confessing here. People just assume that's a happening. That's how we talk today. We do that every day in our life. Whenever we're telling a story, we know the audience, and we skip details because we all fill them in. That's what's happening here. Acts 18, Apollos preaching John's baptism. So here we have Priscilla and Aquila hear Apollos teaching, and they find out that Apollos is only teaching John's baptism of repentance. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit, verse 25, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. He was preaching Jesus, but he wasn't acquainted with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard this, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They taught him the truth. It was not okay to have false teaching here. Now, get with me, and I'll have a conversation with you, what's Apollos' attitude? Because we know what Apollos' attitude, because he goes to Corinth after here and he's preaching the gospel. We know what happens. But Apollos didn't bow up and say, no, I'm going to do this. Apollos understood he was wrong and he changed. A lot of stories around that and a lot of good discussion. So this was in Ephesus whenever they was doing that. Acts 19, Paul comes to Ephesus, this third missionary journey, and verse 3:19, and he said, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. He's coming behind Apollos. And he says, Paul said, John baptized with baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is Jesus. And when they heard it, this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice, even in the first century, there were some things getting wrong, but notice it was corrected. Notice they didn't just say, hey, it's good enough, you just got this. Notice we're talking about salvation here. Galatians 3, and this is just kind of showing the gospel message. Galatians 3, verse 25, 26, and 27. Remember, Galatia is a region. Remember, Galatia is not a city. Galatia is a region. And this is Paul's first missionary journey. He's writing this letter back to the Galatians. But now, verse 25, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. That's the Old Testament. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Christ Jesus, then he says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. But whenever you go back and you talk about faith in Christ Jesus, that said they made the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. But notice we don't see repentance here. But we see it so many other times. How can you become a Christian? And today, you know, we need to go I've preached a lesson on repentance. We need to have another lesson on repentance, because a lot of people in the religious world just saying, come as you are, you don't have to repent. That's not. Christ and the gospel is not to make you feel good. It is to convict you to become Christ-like and to change your life. That's what repentance is about. That's whenever you look at these things, think about that. Now, I put 1 Peter in here because, remember, we started this lesson off Christ telling the apostles what to do. Remember Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke? Christ was telling his apostles what to do. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, we see Peter saying that. Now, Peter is writing 1 Peter 35 years after Christ's death and ascension. 35 years after that. Notice what he still says here. 1 Peter 3:21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What saves us? Baptism now saves us. But coming up here and getting wet is not going to get, because you got to have a good conscience. You got to know that you've repented. You got to know that you confessed. Do you see how we've gone through all those examples? We've used the sum of God's words to figure out what He wants us to do. It is not a hodgepodge of stuff. It is there for us to understand. So, what must we do to be saved? Now, I want to talk to all the brethren here. This first part of this list here, all of this is stated from the person that needs to obey the gospel. It's stated from there. But that first one is your responsibility. Nobody can hear the Word of God unless you're preaching it, unless you're teaching it. I encourage you to go through. There's a number of sermons in Acts that you can go through and you can say, you know, that's pretty easy. I can teach somebody that. I can teach somebody Mark. I can teach somebody Luke. Okay, Matthew's a little complicated because it's got Jewish law. But you can go through the miracles and you can tell, Christ is the Son of God. Look at this miracle. Look at all these people that believed Him. You don't need to be a scholar. You can go teach people this. And you can very easily go through Acts and teach people, this is what people did to be saved. People need to repent of their sins. People need God. We can all do that. So this first part here, whenever we talk about here, you have a responsibility. I think often of Trey. He said, you know, somebody. I think he said, somebody says, what's the good news? And Trey responded, Christ died for our sins. I think that's what you said, something like that. I'm sure I get your words wrong. But anyway, Trey said that probably a year ago. And I was thinking, you know, because we all say, hey, what's the good news today? Christ died for our sins. That's the good news. That, He opened it up. So, you and I have a responsibility on this part here. It's our job to make sure people hear the gospel. People need to hear the gospel. They need to believe, they need to repent, and they need to confess Jesus is the Son of God, and they need to be baptized. I hope you see how I did that. Oh, I'm sorry. This says, what must I do to be saved? There's one more thing down here. We got to be faithful to the end. It's not a one and done. It's not a one and done. And so what we've got to do is Revelations 2:10, and this is where John is getting this vision from Christ. And there it says, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. He didn't say, if you follow the steps of salvation, You can do what you want. That's not what he said. You got to be faithful. And I want you to notice, and I've got to go develop this lesson because I didn't pay attention to this until I was doing this lesson. But notice we talk about belief. Believe is faith. Now, there's a lot of verses that can tell us that. There's several verses that tie those two together. But the day that you obeyed the gospel, your belief was here. You must grow your faith to be obedient to God. You got to grow your faith. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I like these verses here because, "For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, obeying His commandments," we saw that in Matthew 28, "you may receive what was promised." You've done the will of God. And just a few verses down, he gives the negative of that. "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith to preserving of the soul." Preserving of the soul. We have to put on Christ. And the way we do that is this first part here. My experience, this is easy. I was able to do this whenever I was 12 years old. I remember I wanted to do it a year before, but my daddy held me back because he didn't think I was ready. He knew I was ready whenever I went because I said, "I need to go do this." The problem is, since that time, I've lived almost 50 more years. And what I found is this is the hard part. Being faithful, serving God, putting Him first. So, whenever you look at the bulletin, think about all the examples that are in Acts. Think about these verses. And remember, the first part of those statements is our responsibility to go preach the gospel. But it's everybody else's responsibility to hear the gospel. I didn't go through the people and the Jews that were hearing the gospel and walked away. There were people that did that. We all know the sower, the parable of the sower. We just got to go sow the seed. It's up to them whether they accept it. And they're not rejecting you and I. And I can tell you, whenever I was younger, I had such a big problem with that. I do still have a problem with that. But it's not about me. It's about me sharing God's word. And for people to be convicted in their heart, then they can be saved. They can put on the blood of Christ. So, I hope you look at that different. That's a fundamental lesson. Elementary principles. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2. But make sure we understand what that is. We have a lot of people in the world that doesn't teach that today. But that's what the new first century, that's what Christ said. And that's what the first century church did. And we see it all the way through, all the way to when the writers of the New Testament stopped writing. That's my point about Peter. If you need to obey the gospel, we always leave this time. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we are a group of people trying to get to heaven. And the reason, there's two institutions that God set up. One is the family, the second one is the church. He set this up because He knew we needed each other to try to get to heaven. We needed the encouragement of one another. If you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand.